Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used by and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program.
Welcome to Revolution Radio for this 27th day of December, 2023, where for the first time I'm my own wingman. Mitchell, who has been so supportive all these years, is undertaking other ventures, no longer with me, so I shall do my best to manage and field the calls. I do have a new number call appropriate time, and let's hope it all plays out. Meanwhile, I'm ready to say I have as a return guest, William Berg, will be joining me and commenting on the stories we have. There's a whole lot going on in the Middle East. Hezbollah has been attacking Israel. The Houthis have wreaked havoc in the Red Sea. And it looks as though the situation is not good for Israel, which has, of course, earned the world's condemnation and lost its standing among nations. I want to begin today, however, with an NBC reporter shocked that illegal border crossings are at an unprecedented level. NBC News correspondent Todd Venegas provided a firsthand account of the escalating migrant influx at the Eagle Pass, Texas border crossing, a revelation that stunned many. A surge in illegal immigration this week saw Customs and Border Protection apprehending a record-breaking 12,000-plus individuals crossing the border in a single day. Strain on the Biden admin to address the persistent crisis. Venegas report aired on MSNBC, capturing the vast crowd of migrants awaiting processing with a continuous flow of newcomers crossing the border. In his coverage, Venegas highlighted the unprecedented scale of migrant gatherings, asserting the surge significantly surpassed any he had witnessed during previous reporting in Eagle Pass. This trend echoed across different border regions as recounted by other reporters working along the U.S.-Mexico border and in areas like Arizona and Jacoba near San Diego. It's in official government reports with soaring numbers of apprehensions and encounters stretching the already thinly spread resources to their limits. Venturing into local perspective, Venegas relayed Representative Tony Gonzalez, Republican of Texas account, indicating the overwhelming strain on federal processing centers and area hospitals due to the substantial influx of illegal immigrants. Gonzalez informed Venegas the hospitals are struggling to cope, potentially hampering health care access for both migrants and local residents, painting a grim humanitarian crisis unfolding at the border. Well, it's no surprise, especially when you consider what Joe Biden is giving every illegal alien who enters America. Get this. Joe Biden created the border crisis. Joe Biden is determined to make the border crisis worse. And you won't believe what Joe Biden is giving every illegal alien who enters America. Pinal County, Arizona, Sheriff Mark Graham had a warning for the American people. Joe Biden is illegally entering America is a lucrative proposition. Sheriff Lamb revealed that Biden's admin handed every illegal a phone call, a cell phone, a plane ticket to whatever city they want to visit, and a $5,000 Visa gift card. This financial lure is the greatest magnet Biden has created to attract record numbers of illegals into the country. Many aren't women and children, but single military-age men. And even the media can't ignore the crisis Biden has created. NBC's Quad Vinegas reported from Eagle Pass that the mobs of illegals amassed and waiting are like nothing he's ever seen before. And, of course, I've been reporting from here. This is another part. These crowds here at Eagle Pass have never been this large during my time. This is the most people I've ever seen in Legal Pass and other reporters, colleagues working other parts of the board in Arizona and Jacumba or San Diego tell me the same thing. We have these conversations and it's always, wow, I've never seen this number of migrants arriving. We know from the reports coming from the government with these numbers, we have the number of apprehension, the number of encounters, everything spiking. So we don't know what this will mean moving forward. We just know the numbers are much larger than the resources, and the resources are spread thin. Well, mind you, we know it's not actually Joe Biden who appears to have died in 2017. It's some imposter. I think if you imagine Bibi Netanyahu as our commander-in-chief in terms of foreign policy and George Soros as the acting president in relation to domestic, you get a good idea of what we're about. William, I have you join me once again. You share your thoughts about the border catastrophe we're experiencing today.
Absolutely. Can you hear me okay, Jim?
Very well.
Okay, well, again, it's my pleasure to be on your show again. The border, let's call it what it is. It's open border, folks. There's no other way to describe it. When you have to some consecutive years of over 100,000 fentanyl deaths, all the fentanyl's coming across the southern border. There's a lot of money, as you said. We've always had countries to the south of us that have been poorer than us, but we rarely, until the last couple of decades, had a lot of illegal immigration. Some of it was due to conflicts there. Some of it was economic opportunities. But people are coming here because there's financial incentives for them to come here. And also, I've talked to people. It costs a lot of money to pay coyotes to get you across. At least it used to be. Now it's, you basically cross without them. To get all these, to feed yourself and provide transportation all the way from the depths of Latin America costs money. Somebody's putting a lot of money into this. We know in Europe, German businesses, I read a story where they were actually funding some of the migration from Africa into Europe. And not all the migrants going across the southern border are from Latin American countries. They're coming from all over the place. And it's because there's no restrictions. It's an open border. So now the question is, why is nothing being done about it? Nothing is being done about it. Mayorkas, they've talked about, the Secretary of Homeland Security has been talked about getting him impeached. Nothing happens. They've talked about maybe tightening just a little bit of the border in order to get Ukraine aid across. But really, it's so bad that Robert Kennedy went down. He was shocked. Of course, everybody goes, it's totally because they're told by the media we don't have an open border, we don't have that many illegal immigrants. Robert Kennedy was shocked. Where there is a border wall, all the sensors are missing. They're being activated. And the border, I know.
Well, we drop here by William. I'm sure he'll return shortly. Washington Post now, which is widely regarded as a CIA mouthpiece, mapping Israel's destruction in Gaza, which, of course, is horrendous. from the Washington Post. Israel has waged one of this country's most destructive. Here we go. William, please continue.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know where I was cut off, but, you know, the bottom line, it's an open border by design. This is not something that's accidental or, you know, people are not paying enough attention. It is by design an open border. If you go back to the days of David Rockefeller, who was basically the leader of the Bilderbergers at that time, the leader of the banking community, Western Banking Alliance, he made no bones about it. We want open borders. We want a unified North America with no borders. I mean, he wanted that. And, of course, you know, that's not good for American sovereignty, but they don't care about American sovereignty. They live in their own little worlds, and all they want are cheap laborers and people that are divided against each other so they always can control the masses.
William, it's so shocking to have an American president open our borders like this. There has to be a huge backstory. I believe it's an attempt to go forward with a North American Union, which Barack Obama also favored, but Trump, of course, did not. It's one of the huge differences. For those who claim there are no differences, Trump obviously sealed the border, doesn't believe in the North American Union. The Democrats, Obama, Biden, open the border and believe in a North American Union. No borders between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, all free flow. But basically rewarding people for entering the United States illegally. This is a failure to faithfully execute the laws of the United States, which is the oath the president of the United States takes. And whoever he is, he deserves to be given the boot. What can we do about it, William?
He needs to be impeached. First of all, I want to say that this is not something supported by Mexico or even some countries in Latin America. I mean, yeah, there's countries in Latin America that are getting rid of their dissidents and getting rid of their criminals. But the president of El Salvador thinks it's nuts that we have this open border. And López Obrador, the president of Mexico, he had a great relationship with Trump. He didn't mind having that border wall. Because when you have a border wall, a tight control over the drugs, the human trafficking and all that, that puts the cartels out of business. The cartels are basically running Mexico now. And, they can't have a normal country until the narcos are out of business. And they're never going to be out of business with an open border where you can throw, you know, just millions of tablets across the border. And I hear it's going to get worse. I just heard of something on NPR today. It's going to get worse, the fentanyl crisis. They're putting even more dangerous drugs. These are not street drugs, recreational drugs. These are killers. These are poisons that they're sending across. And one person I know recently, he had 7 friends in the last 2 years that have died of overdoses. We know personally the family. Someone, a prominent family who died of a fentanyl overdose, and he was having a successful life in his career and all in family. But these drugs are not designed to give some nice high or recreational lift. They're designed to kill. And we're doing very nothing about the fentanyl crisis. I mean, William, it's just shocking that we've lost control of our country and we've lost control of our government. And I'm done, to be honest with you.
William, we know that the vax has ingredients that induce sterility, bring about abortion, make it impossible to reproduce. We also know that while they're being given massively to Americans, none of the illegals are being required to take the vax. None of them are undergoing any medical screening. I must infer, therefore, the idea is to permanently alter the demographics of the United States by having these migrants enter the U.S. and reproduce like rabbits, as the phrase has it. While the American population, especially the proportion that is white, the Anglo-Saxon, the Christian population of the United States is being allowed to wane, really to expire. It seems to me this is a plan for a permanent destruction of America, its culture, and its values. Your thoughts?
Well, I think across the West, this has been said by many people, that the woke culture to create so sexual confusion and inhibit sexual relations is a way to depopulate. We've talked about the COVID vaccine as a way, you know, it's also a poison, okay? It's killing a lot of people. This is a part of the depopulation. Fentanyl's part of the depopulation. And so these countries that have higher birth rates, they're going to send their people into the countries that are losing population. But in the end, it's really not going to make a major dent in the world's population. What it is going to do is, as you say, it's going to change the demographics. It's not going to just change the demographics ethnically, okay? A lot of ethnic people, recent immigrants, are doing well in the United States. But what we have now are a different type of immigrant who really is less educated than the ones that came across, or are less skilled. And there's a problem in that we really have too many workers. They always talk about a worker shortage. But places like McDonald's, they're not, and a lot of fast food national chains, they're not going to hire illegal immigrants, okay? They're going to be hired by people in the shadows and, you know, maybe independent hotels or independent restaurants. And just to tell you, in my own personal experience down here in Texas, I'm getting so many solicitations for tree work, because the tree trimmers, to a great extent, come from, you know, across the border and are not legal citizens. So many people now trying to do tree work because there's not a lot of work opportunities available to them in line businesses. So we've got a problem. Not a lot of these individuals are not going to be able to find productive employment. And there's, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know the problem. I know the problem. The American people know the problem. But the government is doing nothing. It's doing nothing. And the businesses, the elites, want illegal immigration. Okay, that made it clear from the very beginning. They do not want a controlled border. And some of them, for instance, this one person we know came from a prominent Hispanic family. And maybe some of the elites, when they lose their kids to fentanyl, maybe they'll start waking up, or maybe they don't care about their kids. I mean, these people are not the nicest of people that are running the show in the United States of America and the West.
It's just appalling. I mean, they stole the election. It was so massive. I've reported many times my best estimate, Trump got over 100 million votes, Biden about the theft of the election was so massive. And as in other cases, like Sandy Hook, for example, they go after any challenges, the authenticity of the election or the whether the shooting in Newtown was real, hammer and tongs. That's one of the signs, you know, that we're dealing with a big lie. When there's a massive effort to suppress any discussion, I mean, if it's true, if Biden really legitimately won, let's have an open discussion debate. Let's go back, review every vote. It's going to turn out he won with more votes than any candidate in history, even though they wouldn't even put him out on the campaign trail because nobody was showing up. I've repeated the story, and it's the day before the vote, William. It was a joint appearance of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and guess how many turned out? Zero. No, nobody came, William.
I thought about 12.
nobody gave an shit about either of them. But, you know, they're in office nevertheless, and they're killing America. And the failure to uphold, you know, the laws, Soros was brilliant in going after district attorneys to not enforce laws against something as elementary as shoplifting, has a massive destructive influence across the nation. When you allow individuals to put up to around $1,000 with impunity, you know, it might not sound like much if it were one person one time. But they're organized into groups. They have convoys. They go to stores and they empty them out because each of them is only taken to 1,000 and not going to be prosecuted. And the lawlessness set example across the country. So law and order is only maintained by a thin veneer. I mean, the police obviously cannot be everywhere at the same time. So you have to have a general commitment to civilized society, to law and order, in order to work. And because the Democrats have gone out of their way to destroy that fabric, it no longer works. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, they're sowing anarchy, and they've been to date protected by their gated communities and their guarded apartments and all that. I think they're even starting to go to the next stage, which is, you know, you've heard about Zuckerberg's bunker. There's these all over the country. Now, these wouldn't last. In my last novel, I thought of living underground. You cannot do that for very long, but maybe they're just going to ride out, you know, a period of a few years of anarchy or something like that in their bunkers. But I really don't know if they all know what they're doing or totally agree on what's going on. By the way, as far as election, I just saw State of Denial. Of course, I've seen a number of videos on the election about the mainly the fraud in Maricopa County. It wasn't just Maricopa, it was Pinal County and all in Arizona, but it was focusing on Carrie Lake's campaign. But again, it was just a massive combination of every fraudulent technique you can get. And you don't get your day in court. She actually had the right to present some evidence on a 2-day trial. And the first day, they actually made some dents in the government's case and showed how perhaps you realize in terms of verification of ballot signatures that that was done. Some people were doing it in like almost no time. They weren't even looking at them. Ordinarily, it would take 15-20 seconds to verification. About 10% of the signatures did not match the registrations. Even they were a mile off, and yet these new signatures, bogus signatures, are going to enter into the database. And the court on the second day basically told Carrie Lake, you can't present any more forensic evidence or forensic witnesses. What you can't present the forensic evidence, and that was the end of it. And so there's never really been a full trial in which all the evidence has been heard in any state. Yeah. If the evidence is heard in one state and it's shown that there's massive fraud, then that's going to question the entire election in all these other states. Because I believe, personally, there was fraud in these states in the United States. Now, it was much more in certain places, but I read in Missoula, Montana, there was fraud. Tina Peters in Colorado, who was the clerk at Mesa County, that's a solid Republican area. She noticed massive fraud in Mesa County, which is way out in the sticks. So I think there was fraud in every single county. Well, as much as the Democrats could control and the elite control these counties. So anyways, but what's going to be done, Jim?
William, I really cannot answer the question to have the government of the United States grossly and publicly and openly abusing the laws of the United States about a matter of vital to national security, and realize the key players here in the government are all Israelis. You got Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, Israeli. You got Mayorkas, Secretary of Human Security, Israeli. You got Merrick Garland, Attorney General, Israeli. You got Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, Israeli. They're running the government on behalf of Israel, which is why I say if you envision Bibi Netanyahu as our commander-in-chief in charge of foreign affairs and George Soros as in charge of domestic, you understand what the hell's going on. They are destroying America. And I'm with you, William. I do not see how we are able to set the record right short of, you know, we have a tyrannical government, short of actually undertaking a revolution. I mean, they made the false claims about January 6th of inciting an insurrection when there was no insurrection. It was totally manufactured. There were more FBI operatives in the crowd than there were patriots. They were peacefully and patriotically protesting the theft of the election, just as Donald Trump at the Ellipse told everyone to do, peaceful, patriotic. There was nothing there that remotely justified. And then the Democrats in the House created a January 6th commission that edited the tape. I mean, this is analogous to Auschwitz and the Holocaust. They edited the tape to create the impression they wanted to create, when in fact it was no master plan to kill the Jews at Auschwitz or any of the other camps. We know there weren't even any gas chambers, for God's sake. But the propaganda, and that's why they're so severe again on the propaganda. If you challenge the Holocaust, they come down on you like a sledgehammer. We had a former minister of education, Israel, on with Amy Goodman. This is years and years ago. When Amy said, what happens when Israel is subject to criticism? And she said, well, it's a trick. If it's in Europe, we bring up the Holocaust. If it's in the United States, anti-Semitism. But it's a trick, really, she said, just to fend off critics of Israel. Well, today, Israel is the most deserving country of criticism of any nation in the world, among those of all time, by practicing genocide openly and publicly, mass murder going on, aided and abetted with the United States. William, it is a travesty, and we're going to turn our attention there when we return with William DeBert.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It's the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front line battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. time on Studio B Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are only the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Turns out Hamas has been doing a hell of a job in Israel. In spite of the massive bombing, the flooding, they're having to resort to those techniques and even the use, it turns out, of atomic weapons, neutron bombs. Christopher Busby has reported evidence of their use already in Lebanon, but now in Gaza. This is absolutely horrific. But Hamas has been, you know, very successful in defeating the IDF in infantry on-ground combat. They've taken out over 150 tanks and armored personnel carriers. Over 5,000 of the Israelis have been injured, at least 2,000 permanently, that they will be unable to return to combat. Just as Colonel McGregor suggested that the Israelis had lost a war from the destroying many buildings that would make their tracked vehicles have a major problem, lack of mobility and maneuvering in the streets of Gaza, setting themselves up to be easy targets, where the rebel gave many firing positions so Hamas can get up close and personal and take them out using rocket-propelled grenades that have been specially adapted to penetrate the armor. They have basically lost the ground war in Gaza. So, of course, they're doing what they do in the best tradition of sadists and maniacs, massive bombing. I began explaining how the Washington Post is publishing maps showing the extent of the destruction. There's more damage in less time than ever before in world history. Taking place in Gaza now. Hezbollah, which has defeated Israel and Lebanon in the past, is now becoming active on the northern border. And in what is perhaps the most stunning development of them all, the Houthis in Yemen are proving to have testicles, balls the size of elephants, by being so courageous in Israel. They have declared war on Israel. They fired some rockets, but most importantly, they're interfering with shipping. So that for weeks now, not a single cargo vessel has docked in Israel. This is huge. Listen now to Scott Ritter talk about it. Scott's got the right idea here, I think. Check it out.
The ramifications of what Israel is doing has obviously spilled over well beyond the Gaza, what's called an enclave. That part of Palestinian territory. And now there is increasing tensions around the Red Sea with Yemen's Ansar Allah getting really deep in waging a blockade that's been pretty successful to this point in response to what's happening in Gaza. But of course, with Hezbollah, and there have been, I feel like there's been more and more tensions regionally. And Israel is talking about trying to get the U.S. to help them push Hezbollah back along the border. Help us make sense of the regional ramifications and where this is going as we enter 2024.
Well, first of all, let's reflect back on Nasrallah's speech that he gave, I think, on October 9th, 2 days after. And I call it the escalation management speech. And because everybody's expecting Hezbollah to jump in and join the fight. And Hezbollah basically said, "We're in, but our way. We're going to do it our way. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it that way. Because how is Israel going to be strategically defeated here? Israel set the parameters of victory being the destruction of Hamas. I think Larry and I agree. Hamas is won. They're not going to be destroyed. So Israel's already lost this war. Plus, if your goal is the creation of a Palestinian state." You've got to keep the whole world's focus on that problem set, and it's working against Israel. The whole world has rallied behind it. The last thing you want to do is expand this conflict, because now suddenly the Palestinian issue is not the only issue. In fact, it's going to be put on the back burner as you deal with bigger regional issues like war with Iran. That's a bigger problem set than the Palestinian issue. So you don't want to expand this conflict. So you've seen a lot of escalation management. But it's been done very cleverly. Hezbollah, for not wanting to get involved, has tied down one half of the Israeli Navy, one third of the Israeli Air Force, one quarter of the Israeli Army. They forced 70,000 people to be displaced out of northern Israel, putting a huge burden on the Israeli economy. And they're just humiliating the Israelis on a daily basis on the border. And here's the thing. You think Hamas has tunnels? Hamas has tunnels, better tunnels, deeper tunnels, longer tunnels. You know that tunnel that the Israelis dug up? It's amazing. Right at the, I think it's the Eretz crossing. And suddenly 400 meters from the crossing, how far along are we? 70 some odd days in this conflict. And they go, oh my God, the biggest tunnel imaginable, they literally drive a car through, is right here. Wait a minute. You guys didn't find that tunnel until now? That tunnel is small compared to the tunnels that Hezbollah has carved into northern Israel. When the time comes, Hezbollah will seize northern Israel. There's nothing the Israelis can do to stop it. They will take Kiryat Shemona. They will take other towns. They will take the Galilee. Israel can't stop them. But Hezbollah doesn't want to do that right now. Hezbollah has let it be known that they can do that, and they will do that if called upon. And this is why you're seeing Israel hesitate, because you've got all the chest thumping guys that need to go in and kick Hezbollah's butt. Israel proved that they can't kick Hezbollah's butt. They tried it in 2006. Didn't work. Hezbollah has gotten even better. They've become combat hardened with a decade plus experience in Syria. There's nothing the United States can do. What, you think American pilots and American airplanes dropping American bombs are going to do a better job than Israeli pilots and American airplanes dropping American bombs? No. First of all, our pilots aren't that good anymore. We just don't train that well. Training's expensive. When was the last time we did a real honest-to-God, air attack against somebody with an integrated air defense or somebody has the potential of doing that?
Yeah.
Not in a long time. Our pilots don't know how to fight. And so we'd be going through a learning curve that'd be unreal, and then we'd get humiliated because it's not stopping anything. And you think Americans, when Hezbollah moves into northern Israel, you think Americans are going to drop bombs on Kiryat Shemona? You think Americans are going to drop bombs on Israel? Ain't going to happen. See, Hezbollah isn't going to sit in southern Lebanon and let the fight come to them. Hezbollah is going to take the fight to northern Israel. And now the Israelis are going to have to bomb their own cities, bomb their own people. America will stay out of that fight because we are not going to bomb Israel. Hezbollah's thinking. They know this. If I know this, Israel knows this. America knows this. That's why I'm not too worried about an expansion of the fight, because Israel knows they'll just get, I was going to use a bad word, they'll get beat up. Now we come to the Houthi. You know, this is very rude of me, but every time when I think of the Houthi, I just think of, you know, some wild dudes from Mad Max, you know, you know, just yelling charge and go, because they just sort of, on October 19th, they just appeared. They just woke up and said, screw it, launch. And everybody's like, what the heck just happened? The Houthi just fired on Israel. Did that really happen? Hell yeah, that happened. We're going to do it again. Launch, launch, launch. And then they say, screw it, take a ship. Fly helicopters out there, take everybody's going, what the hell's going on? What are the Houthi doing? And then the Houthi just say, we're going to shut it all down. And they have. They've effectively closed the Man el Bab Straits, that little narrow piece of water between Yemen and Djibouti. They've shut it down. The Red Sea, you can't go to the Suez Canal now, because now America's going, what do we do? So we're moving a fleet down, and we're realizing we can't do anything. Now, the big news isn't that America can't beat the Houthi. I mean, we can't, and we're not going to. To secure those straits, we'd have to put 40,000 Marines on the ground. We don't have 40,000 Marines put on the ground. We can't get 40,000 Marines there. If we get them on the ground, we can't sustain it. There's 100,000-plus Houthi out there. We ain't going to beat them. Saudi Arabia's been trying since 2014 using American planes with American bombs. Using American intelligence hasn't worked. The Houthi can destroy Saudi Arabia's oil production capacity. That's one big thing here that's causing everybody to hit pause on that. Saudi Arabia's like, you guys are going to do what to the Houthi? Pause, 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 please pause, because they're going to blow up the Aramco oil fields, and we don't want that to happen. The United Arab Emirates going, wait a minute, you're going to do what? No, we don't want to have anything with that either. Pause, pause, pause. they don't want to lose their oil production capacity either. So America's sitting there going, but it's a big story. It's not about that strait. You know how America's been saying for decades, we guarantee that the Strait of Hormuz will be open, that Iran will never shut it down. That if it tries to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, the American Fifth Fleet will keep it open. That's just been proven to be a lie.
Yeah.
Because we can't beat the Houthi, and we damn sure aren't going to beat the Iranians. What this proves is that America's fleet, all of its, dozen, aircraft carrier battle groups, can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's a waste of money, total waste of money. We have to be careful about getting sunk, losing a carrier. I'm an American taxpayer, okay? So I got the USS Kearney out there, the Aegis class, Arleigh Burke class destroyer. It's got 90 missiles, SM-2s, SM-6s, other things out there. And each one of them runs between $1.1 and $4 million each, depending on which missile you use. The Houthi have thousands of these drones and cheap missiles. They cost them $2,000, $5,000, maybe $10,000. The guy had Max, and they're going to launch these things. And the Kearney's going to go detected, launch, shot, detected, launch, shot, detected. And now they're done. They fired off 90. And as Larry said, they don't have the tenders anymore. You can't bring up the ship that goes resupply in. They got to pull the Kearney out. And then who's going to replace the Kearney? Some other funky named ship that's going to fire off 90 missiles and have to go? There's only so many, missile destroyers in a carrier battle group. And when they deplete this stuff, the carrier's got to go because it can't stay there. Something's going to... Now, here's the other thing. What have the Ukrainians been using that's driving the Russians crazy in the Black Sea? The underwater drone. The underwater drones. Well, Russia captured some of them. And I don't know if you saw it, Larry, but Russia published photographs saying, we've just produced our own underwater drone. And Russia has really good relationships with the Iranians. So I guarantee you that if Russia produced an underwater drone, the Iranians would produce an underwater drone. And if the Iranians produced it, the Houthi have it. And so we're going to be sitting there going, shoot down missiles, shoot down missiles, shoot down missiles. Holy sheesh, you bad word. You think that? Watch out. Got 20 underwater drones coming at me. It's over, ladies and gentlemen. We lost a carrier. 5,000 Americans are dead. This is the reality of the carrier battle group. It's a legacy system going back to World War II that has no application in modern warfare whatsoever. America has been exposed as literally the empty shell that we are. It's not so much about the Red Sea. The Strait of Hormuz has just been guaranteed. We just lost the Strait of Hormuz because the whole idea of the Strait of Hormuz was the perception that America could do something. Well, that's been exposed as a lie. The Iranians are in power. Saudis and the UAE is going, I think it's time we have to rethink our strategic relationships here because America can't defend anything. The whole aspect of what America was doing with power projection was the potential of action that creates deterrence. We don't have the potential of action. Where can we go, Larry? Where can we go? We can't go into Europe. We've proven that. Yeah, we can't defend the Red Sea against the Houthi. We think we want to hook and jab with the Chinese in the Pacific? Are we high? America's been exposed to this nation spends $1 trillion a year on a military that can't do anything.
I just think that's sensational. That Scott Ritter's got it right. William, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of points he makes. Yes, I think, let me get back to the elites. They're sort of in a panic mode now because they failed on two fronts, one geopolitically and two domestically. The geopolitical failures have now really become quite apparent in Israel, which, by the way, is an outpost of British intelligence and the British government and the Rothschild banking empire. The Israeli settlers were just the means to provide an occupation of it. Let's talk first. I'd like to say first about Ukraine. NATO has walked into an enormous trap. Okay, when Russia collapses the Ukrainian army, which is close at hand, they're going to take what they want in Ukraine, leave a rump state, and the West still has these sanctions on Russia. Now, people might think, well, Russia wants to do business again with us. At one time, Russia wanted to do business with the West, but they don't have to now. Russia is the only country probably in the world that's totally sufficient, has all the energy, all the mineral resources, all the industry to completely free itself from the rest of the world's grid. Now, with China alone, they even not only are self-sufficient, they're more than self-sufficient. And China, with Russia's energy and minerals, is completely self-sufficient. That's why basically the foreign minister of China and Putin and Lavrov told the West, we don't need you anymore. You're irrelevant. So the NATO embarrassment and the obsolescence of NATO equipment and the poor training of NATO's is so damaging. Who are they going to sell more weapons to if they don't work? Now, in Israel, I agree with Ritter completely. I mean, lots of people said Israel's already lost this war and it's the dead man walking. Now, let's give you just a brief rundown. A lot of people haven't mentioned this. You mentioned about the 5,000 plus serious casualties that are overflowing the military hospitals. They have amputations. They have blindness. They have mental brain damage and all this. Plus, Israel's admitted the 500 deaths. So you're talking 5,500 on, let's say, rounded off to 6,000 soldiers. Israel is a country of 9.7 million, but only Jews serve in the military for the most part. There's a few that are not. So you're talking about 7 million Jews, but a lot of those Jews, over 1 million ultra-Orthodox, can't serve either. So you're looking at an effective military age population, not military age, just military possible population. Military age is a lot less than that, of maybe 6 million. If you multiply that by the United States, 330 million, which is over 50 times larger than that, the casualties Israel is suffering would be in the area of about 150,000 to 300,000. Think about that. Think about that. That's a huge number of their military age population. They have suffered enormous casualties for a little country like that. And so, yes, they're in a trap. They can't get out now without just withdrawing completely. And then they've lost the world opinion. They've lost, a lot of their economy now. So they're in serious trouble. Now, that's just the geopolitical. In the States, you have a lot of strong liberals and groups that supported the Democrats that are now turning against them 180 degrees. Trump, outside of California, will probably win, if he runs, the Hispanic vote. Okay, he already carried counties in Texas that no Democrat had carried in over 100 years last election. And so he's sure to carry probably the Hispanic vote. He'll get a lot of the African-American vote, especially the American male vote. And all sorts of people and students, of course, may flock to Kennedy or whoever. But there's nobody going to be left for the Democrats to support them in 2024. You have all these prominent people like Joe Rogan and Bill Maher, once liberals who are, 180 degrees opposite. Ron Lemon from CNN has said all he looks at is alternative media now. Maybe he looks at your site. But the point is that Chris Cuomo said he's going to vote for Trump. All these people that used to be mainstays of the elite establishment and media, turning against them. Bless him.
Yes, yes, yes. Love it.
But the problem is they still have the military and they are doing everything they can to turn the military so they're willing to fire on the American people. The American military, as Scott Ritter said, we can't defeat China, we can't defeat Russia, we can't defeat Iran. We're probably not even going to want to take on the Houthis because of their cheap drones. The nature of modern warfare has changed dramatically. But they can still kill a lot of Americans if Americans start to protest. And that's why they're desperate to get the military to change its views on all these issues and get rid of people who probably wouldn't fire on the American people. So they still control the military. And that's a big concern. How will our military respond in any major resistance by the American people? I don't know. I would hope that the American military would not fire on the American people. But I just don't know, because they have eliminated a lot of patriots. Oath Keepers used to have a big presence in the military, but now they really did a whammy on the Oath Keepers, all illegitimate, you know, in the January 6th and other ways. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think our biggest concern right now, I don't even think they can steal the next election. They don't have enough votes to steal it. I think what they their last resort is the military, but they certainly have, you know, a lot of control at the higher echelons of the military.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning what's been going on here, William. Very nice. Meanwhile, the Israelis have been humiliating the Palestinians. Here's a fascinating report about urinating on prisoners, why humiliation is functional in Israel's war on Palestine. And they got a photograph of these prisoners. Now, these are men, but they have breasts. I can't tell you, one after another. I mean, they're very substantial. I mean, these are like D cup, C cup. I mean, really impressive breasts. Many women would say they wouldn't mind. I mean, it's ridiculous, which tells me they've been putting estrogen in the water in Palestine to diminish the, you know, testosterone, and which is related to aggression. So the Palestinian men won't be as strong in opposing Israeli abuse. It's just outrageous what's going on here. And the Yemenis, the Houthis, have just been sensational. Here's a piece by Mike Whitney in Noon's Review. Yemen has said it would stop the blockade of Israeli-bound ships as soon as sufficient food, water, and medicine allowed to enter Gaza. Guess that's asking too much, said Elizabeth Murray. Yemen's Houthi militia has shown how a small army can take on the American empire and win. They have shown how courage, resolve, and commitment to principle can act as a force multiplier, allowing a much weaker military to punch above its weight. They've also shown that a few well-placed missiles in key locations on the world's most critical shipping lanes can send tremors across the global economy and shake the rules-based order to its foundation. In short, the Houthis have shown that David can bring down Goliath without breaking a sweat, provided that David maintains his perch along the Bab al-Mandab Strait. Here's what's going on. The Houthis occupy an area along the narrowest part of the Red Sea that is the most important shipping corridor in the world. It is responsible for 12% of international trade, one-third of global container traffic. When the movement of ships is disrupted along this waterway, insurance premiums skyrocket, prices on retail merchandise rise, oil prices go through the roof. That's why Western powers are committed to keeping these shipping lanes open at all times, whatever the cost. But it ain't working. Here's a tweet. Vanessa Beely, not a single cargo has arrived in Israel for 2 weeks. And we expect the same for the next four. Absolutely stunning. Surprisingly, the Houthis do not stand to gain anything from their effort. In fact, they are putting themselves at great risk of retaliation by the United States in order to pressure Israel into stopping its relentless bombardment of the Gaza Strip and to allow the starving Palestinian people access to food, water, and supplies. The Houthis should probably be applauded for their selfless compassion and humanity, but Washington doesn't see it that way. They don't see the Houthis' action as laudable, virtuous, or just. They see it as a challenge to American primacy. They see it as a threat to the regional hegemony and global leadership. They see it as interference in their Gaza policy, in which Israel has been granted carte blanche to kill and maim as many Palestinians as it sees fit in order to achieve its own strategic objective, which is greater Israel. So what we have here is an unstoppable force and an immovable object. We have two opposing points of view and no way to resolve their differences without a direct military confrontation. That means there's going to be trouble in the very new future. And I foresee, William, the United States attempt a carpet bomb, might run B-52s over Yemen, but the Saudis are panic-stricken because if they, if that happens, that the Houthis could take out their oil refineries, which have vast consequences for the West and especially the United States. About to hit a break, William, and I look forward to getting your thoughts when we return. Meanwhile, the slaughter in Gaza continues unrestrained. One of the most grotesque events of recent history in the world is standing by. Save for the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas, the world is doing very, very little to bring this brutality to an end. This is a disgrace. The whole world stands shame, none more so than the United States, which is complicit in these crimes. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," and bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up like came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you're a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are from us. Stop every night on the studio at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why the story behind the story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence. That is, if you care about learning.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its program, and its website, hosts, callers, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio, NMS.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. We return you to your host.
Well, go ahead. Your thoughts about things and all that.
Well, yeah, before I do that, I just want to make a comment, and I think, you know, you're well aware of it. When you see this is where you don't know, you know, who your enemy is. It could be a little, it's, you know, got a bomb strapped to his waist. And something totally rattled the Arabian, got them to start wishing in peace with Iran. Because when the Houthi drones hit the wake-up call, and they realized the Western armies are good at sort of guerrilla warfare. They lost a lot of tanks, and they quickly pulled out after 10 days. For some reason, and I'm not sure why Israel did this, it was such misguided to think that they could beat Hamas. I just don't even know why. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what the West was thinking when they thought they could beat Russia. Jake Sullivan and Anthony Blinken and Janet Yellen and all, so many. Wendy Sherman's the greatest of that. She was a social worker who got allied or entered Hillary Clinton's campaign. Most all of these people, Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Ben Rhodes when he was former security advisor, they're all the clips of people of
Hamas and the Houthis and all that, or the abuse of the Palestinians. I mean, and I'm convinced about the astrogeology. I think the evidence is just simply overwhelming.
Well, it is a war crime to publicly parade prisoners and abuse prisoners and all that. So that's just one of, you know, many, many war crimes Israel's committing. As far as the estrogen, I can't really comment on that, Jim. But what I would want to mention is one thing that's been bugging me. OK, and even who condemn Israel, they start off with saying, well, I don't agree with what Hamas did. And, you know, the massacres they committed. But Israel disproportionately responded. I ask people, how do you know what Hamas did? All we hear is the Israeli side. I've looked at a lot of videos that seem like they're portraying a lot of massacres and ugly stuff and all. And I can't find any convincing that Hamas did anything other Israeli defense forces. The number of dead is 400, then it went down to 1,200. And now it's 11. A lot of it has turned out to be shady and dodgy. I think people believe that Hamas killed 1,140 now people in Israel. That starting with that premise is wrong. Okay, let's assume that Hamas took a few hostages to prisoner release, and everything else since then has been justified by Israel on the basis of that, but there's no evidence for it.
Well, let me just substantiate what you're saying here. In Liberation is just reported. Israeli general killed Israelis on October 7th and then lied about it. Brigadier General Haram ordered an Israeli tank to fire in a house full of Israeli hostages taken captured by Hamas in Kibbutz Benir on October 7th, then made up atrocity propaganda to justify and cover up his cowardly decision. But, you know, it was deliberate. They were going to blame it on Hamas. These were killings perpetrated. You know, they used American helicopters to attack those who were attending the concert there to run up the numbers. So your point is impeccable, William, simply impeccable.
Yeah, Jim, even with Israelis killing a lot of Israelis, which is a fact. I don't think those numbers even necessarily are true numbers of the total. But and so my point about watching all these videos and not seeing the person, I think, really wants it. So, but getting back to why would Israel attempt this unless they're completely good in their but that's, boy, they're finding a way. They're going to lose. And they're losing. And again,
$186 billion defense bill. That doesn't account for the hundreds of billions of dollars they don't tell you. They go to President Biden's desk to be signed. Presumably, it should make Americans feel safer, right? It's the opposite. As our U.S. southern border is like a city. Tens of thousands of people pouring across the border. So I'll ask you, and I'll start there. I mean, it's a very broad sort of 35,000-foot question. But when you see this National Defense Authorization Act, $886 billion on the table right now, should Americans feel safer that their government has just spent that amount of money to shovel to the Pentagon?
Clayton, is probably a good time for a time. We're headed into the end of the year. We look back on the last 2.5 years of the Biden administration, actually go further than that. But certainly if we just focus on the time, there's a legitimate question about the current strength and power of the rising criminality, the human trafficking, the drug crisis. What has lying on the battlefields. I don't know how many civilians have died. How does a few months ago? The Ukrainian nation is effectively dead. It's comatose. I don't think it's even on life support. The people who are on life support in Kyiv, those are the crooks and the criminals running the country. They're about to receive another infusion of American cash that they no doubt will transfer to their bank accounts on Cyprus and Switzerland and elsewhere. How much of that make any difference to the poor human beings dying on the battlefield is impossible to speculate. I mean, when you reach the point where in order to be evacuated as a Ukrainian soldier or officer from the battlefield where you were severely wounded, that you have to bribe the ambulance to take you to a location where you can receive real medical attention, it's over. There's no military infrastructure to take care of anyone. People are simply being herded into gunfire. This war is over. The Russians are moving deliberately and slowly towards the West. And the lie that Putin wants to conquer Eastern Europe is falling apart. And that's beginning to happen in Germany and Austria and France and elsewhere. Finally, after months of lies after lies and lies, I'm beginning to say, what? What's really happening? I'm looking around and my economy is destroyed. Our jobs are vanishing. And we are overwhelmed by foreigners. Unwanted migrants, people that are in our country, we never asked for them. The government never consulted with us. The government simply said, if you don't accept millions of foreigners into your midst, well, then you're a Nazi, then you're a bigot. And people say, no, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with being a Nazi. This is about the survival of the French nation, of the German nation, and so forth and so on. All of these things are coming together. Meanwhile, inside the United States, Americans, many of them, quietly are saying, wait a minute, more money for Ukraine? This war is over, isn't it? it's essentially gone. Just look at the map. Look at the advance of the Russians. The Russian forces are now in pristine condition. They're the strongest and most powerful military establishment on the planet. What do we can't even man the armed forces. We can't recruit men to come into the armed forces, which is what we desperately need, who can fight the enemy. We're working everything other than the men that we have historically depended upon for decades. This is in the Navy, the Air Force, the Army. And now we're being told, well, that's fine. Recruit foreigners. Recruit illegal migrants. Right. Bring them in. Now we no longer expect Americans to defend America. And Americans don't want to become part of this foreign constabulary that people like Senator Dick Durbin and others want to stand up. Perhaps it's because they feel sick. Foreigners have the guns in their country. Incomprehensible to me, but that certainly looks like it's the case. And the criminality rises. The poverty is increasing. A 35% increase in food over just the last 18 months. This is insane. What do you do if you're just the average American family? You don't live in a gated, specialized apartment complex in Manhattan. You don't live in a gated community on the outskirts of Washington. You have to live in the real world, and that world would be bad from your standpoint. No one in Washington really either cares or gets it. Washington is a plot unto itself. And then this horrific attack on the 7th of October, which shocked and appalled everyone in the world, including all of the elites in the Muslim world, all the elites in the peninsular Arabs, the Egyptians, Turks, Iranians, everyone was shocked and appalled by that. But what's happened? Instead of specifically and trying to deal with it, it has now become the justification for essentially expelling and killing 2.2 million people from a place called Gaza, because it's being exploited as the means of creating this greater Israel that has been on the agenda but has not been created, and that includes the West Bank and Gaza. And that's a fact. That's not really open for debate. We know that's happening. And the terrorists are shocked and more appalled by what's happening in Gaza than were about what happened on the 7th of October. And America is sitting there saying, well, we have to help our Israeli friends. But people are watching the images. They're listening to what's seeping through the media net and finding out, my God, there are over 18,000 people dead. 6,000 children. How does it help the Israeli cause? How does it help us? Because we stay with it. These things are beginning to sink in, not enough to make a difference inside the United States. For the most part, the Hill is still a permanent fugitive from accountability. They're busy taking the money from the lobbyists, taking the money from contributors, the big donors, in donor-occupied territory called Washington, and they're going home and sleeping comfortably at night. That's where we are.
It is. It is a city unto itself. It's like the capital in the Hunger Games. It's total.
William, I don't know if Douglas McGregor is a wise man in the world, but he's certainly I would nominate. Your thoughts about all of the above.
Yeah, Douglas McGregor is one of many. He's, I think, the best of many military officers who really understand the state of the U.S. military relative to China and Russia, and also overall the state of the United States. Interestingly enough, they make it to colonel, but they never make it any farther, these thinkers, because we don't want people in our military who are questioning things too much if you're going to go into the flag officer ranks. And so one of the things I did want to mention before I discuss a point I wanted to make was I was going to mention it when I was talking about our military. Dick Durbin's notion that we should take illegal immigrants and turn them into our soldiers. Boy, you want an army that's not allied with – that's exactly what you want to do. I can't believe any senator of the United States would be so unwise or reckless to suggest that people who have no stake in America are basically entering illegally should be the people that are controlling our borders and our population. It's mind-boggling that a senator of the United States would even dare suggest that. But let me get to the point of a multipolar world. I tell people, yes, we're in a multipolar world, but the multipolar world is Russia and China and the people that are allied with them. The Western Europe and the United States are irrelevant now. We don't make – Western Europe doesn't make a single thing. I've asked many people, what does Western Europe make that the world can needs from them that can't get from somewhere else? They can't name a thing. They can't name a single thing the United States makes that the world needs and can't get from somewhere else. For instance, cars. We, you know, Europe and the United States are the car giants in Japan. China produces 27 cars a year, as many as Japan, Western Europe, and United States combined. That's unbelievable. So almost every industry, China is taking the lead in. And so it's not a multipolar world. The West and Western Europe, United States are declining dramatically, and they don't have anything the world needs. So it's eventually going to result in economic stagnation. And yes, the Western Europe's limiting Chinese cars, but you know, the people of Western Europe are going to say, how come everybody else in the world can get cheaper, better Chinese cars, and we're stuck with the ones we've got in Western Europe? The United States, yeah, we block Chinese cars, but now apparently Warren Buffett's supporting the manufacturing of Chinese cars in Mexico. That causes the problem because we have a North American trade agreement with Mexico. So how can we block the cars that are being produced in Mexico, even though they're Chinese companies? And so on and so forth. And we can block Huawei in Canada and the United States. But if you go across the rest of the world, Huawei is where you know, Samsung and Huawei, those are the phones you get, not Apple's. Okay, Apple is just for the United States and Western Europe. Okay. So, we can turn inward, but it's going to hurt us economically because the rest of the world is going to buy everything from China and you know, other places allied with China. Mexico now has, for the first time, become a leading trading is trading more with China than the United States. So that was one of the last countries that was trading more with the United States than China. Where is our wealth going to come from in the future? It's really shocking that we're letting our country be run down so much. I just know somebody came back from Asia. You go to China and Japan and some of these other countries, you know, they've got bullet trains, they've got beautiful airports, and he came back to one of our major cities and said, I'm ashamed. You know, there's homeless people pissing on the subways and everything. I mean, it's just disgusting in our big cities, especially up north, how the homelessness and the decay. The rot.
William, you're making so many excellent points. Let me add it. If you understand that they are demonizing conservative supporters, MAGA voters, the January 7th wanted to establish a concept of a domestic terrorist. If we were engaged in a martial law, terrorists are not even entitled to trial by jury, but can be subject to summary execution. I think that's the idea. So if you have American soldiers unwilling to fire on American citizens, much less subject them to summary execution, you need to do something to work around it. And I dare say it's reconstituting military with foreigners. They're not going to have any hesitation in firing on Americans or subjecting them to summary execution. We'll be right back and we'll take your calls. I'll give you the number.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front line of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy, but did no side job that Osama had nothing to do with it. That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener radio. I'll turn you to your host.
Okay, let's give it a try. Here's call-in number 608-957-8727. I repeat, call-in number for this show, 608-957-8727. William, continue with your thoughts. We'll see if we get any callers for you and me here or about these issues. Scott Ritter and Colonel McGregor have made such splendid contributions. Your further thoughts?
Well, I think we're coming to a head. This is going to be decisive, not just geopolitically. I mean, Ukraine can't last, you know, here, and Israel's going to have to do something to pull back within the year. And I don't know what all is going to transpire there, but I'm worried what will happen in the United States. Thus far, the elites have controlled things with the, you know, the FBI and the media and the courts. But what happens when that's not enough? What happens when, and I think one of the starting points will be, and one of the flash points could be Arizona, because the Arizona Republican Party is very unified, and they're determined not to allow the fraud that has taken place in the last several elections to take place. And if nothing else, in Maricopa County. And what happens if you have, 100,000, 200,000 people surround the vote centers and just say, look, we're not going to put up with what we've done all this last time. If the governor calls in the National Guard, what happens if they don't respond and don't shoot on the people there? Will the governor then want the government to bring in the troops? Then what? So this is where, you know, I think it's going to be headed, because they're not going to let Trump win. They're absolutely not. He's going to do so much damage with his Schedule F, in which he's going to fire all the deep state people, supposedly, I mean, determined now that he's going to do that. He could cause so much damage, skeletons could be, you know, thrown everywhere, and they just can't allow him to do it. So I think he's going to try to cheat, but this time in Arizona, there may be a massive public outburst, and I'm sure the FBI is going to send its henchmen in, and it's fake Trump supporters and all, but it may not be enough if there's enough people out there. And the question is, will the National Guard of Arizona fire on the Maricopa protesters, and will the federal government then come in with troops that will fire on the Maricopa protesters? I don't know. I would hope that our military will refuse an unconstitutional order, the officers. But do they really understand that their oath is not to President Biden, but to the Constitution of the United States? People don't realize that.
points. Yes. Well, we have our very first caller on our brand new call-in number, area code 816. Join the conversation.
Jim, I just wanted to say a little bit off subject. I just so enjoyed your show with that King of England last Friday, okay? Oh. And they showed me so much on him. He talked about, I think it was Sir Francis Drake, okay? Well, Sir Francis Drake was his past lifetime, and he's the rightful King of England, and Queen Elizabeth I was Christ Energy. Sir Francis Drake is Christ Energy, and if he knew how to use that coronation crystal he had, he could put a serious hurt on a lot of dark, just like I talked about the Hope Diamond, that there was, you know, that's what happened with that. It's the same with the Terracotta Warriors. It's the same with the Spanish Galleon Okada. You know, it was light magic that caused those things to happen, and he could really put a hurt on things. But I told Mitchell to tell him to call me, but he's not calling. He probably thought, oh, there's another nut, and I won't listen to him. But everything going on is because the reason Israel's falling, the reason Ukraine's not working, nothing works for them anymore, is because the light's been here since December 21st of 2012, and it's weakening them. And one thing I'm trying to get you to see, and you just don't see it, is on Henry Moore, was a group of Jewish women that when Roe Wade or whatever was canceled, they called and complained to the government because they said, how are we going to practice our religion now without the abortion thing in play? And what you have to realize is those dark cabal people use that abortion energy to build up their power to do all evil crap to us. And even Louisa on Goldfish Report had a story how someone found baby teeth in their hamburger, okay? And that's what they do with a lot of that fetal stuff, is they make us eat it, make us cannibals, and that's part of their evil ritual stuff.
Ryan, and so that is so disgusting.
You can talk to Louisa about it. She had it on her show, and they even had this rabbi they called, and he admitted it. Okay?
Yeah.
But that's evil ritual. That's what goes on when they're doing abortion. Jews love abortion, so that tells you it's really bad. So that's all I had to say. I'm trying to change your... huh?
Said Louisa and I are going to do a top 10 stories of 2023, I think, this Saturday. We have a second caller. I'm going to bring him in. Stick around, Brian. Area code 210. Join the conversation. Area code 210. Paul, is that you? William, go ahead and respond to Brian.
William, yes. Brian, yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so... Jim, I think I was cut off briefly. I didn't hear all the first part of your first caller's comments. But, you know, I can't really comment on, you know, yes, we know some dark stuff's going on among the elites. You know, you read the Franklin scandal, the pedophilia, the child sacrifice. It really strikes you as very authentic, what's described in these books by, you know, very capable and dedicated journalists. I don't know, you know, this notion that there's forces beyond what is visible, you know, that there's the dark side, the white hats, the might magic and all that. I mean, I'm a scientist, so I can't really comment on a lot of this stuff, but I would say this, and I'm not especially religious in the traditional sense, but if anybody has some guardian angels behind them, it's Donald Trump. No one could take the machinations that have been thrown. I mean, almost everything in the book, short of, and even he's been a subject of assassination attempts. People don't realize how many, but everything's been going against him. And it's like he's almost protected. I don't know how else to describe how he can be still standing after all this time. But as far as these mysterious forces, I can't really comment, but understand why people would consider them a plug here.
Brian, do you want to add further thoughts?
Well, I just deal with it every day because of what I do. I do what the Buddhist monks do and bring in mechanical energy works, your telepathy works, and then you get into that realm. But, you know, that's something we used to all have, and that was phase one of the dark doing what they're doing to us was taking that all away. And as you know, fluoride water calcifies your pineal gland, so you can't use it. All these frequencies screw up your telepathy. So it's there, but people just don't realize it. You know, it's unfortunate, and people think you're crazy when you talk about it, but boy, do I get information. And years ago when I got information on Adolf Hitler, I said, man, this is crazy. I couldn't believe it. But as time has gone on, I'm finding everything I get about everything is spot on. It is just so spot on. So I know I'm getting truth. And the only way you can do it is do the Kundalini Yoga Chakra Dhyana twice a day. And then eventually you start downloading from the three chakras above the matrix. And then you'll get truth. But, you know, people don't know to do it. They won't do it, that kind of thing. I've got a few people going, and they are doing it, and it works, and it helps them too. So anyway, all I've got.
It's interesting that Tucker Carlson, apparently, I just read the highlights of this article. Apparently, he mentioned something about these spiritual forces that are whirling about. So I'm not sure where he is coming from or where he got, you know, his information, whether it be personal or from hearing it from others. But it is interesting that he mentions this, and he's a very nuts and bolts guy. So I don't know, you know, Jim, I don't know what you think about this.
Well, I don't know about the abortion business, Trump. I still support Trump. It's interesting that Tucker has been suggested to be a running mate for Trump, but Tucker in turn has suggested Ramaswamy would be a good guy. I'm very impressed with Ramaswamy. He reminds me of the Houthis. That much courage, integrity, is so articulate. There have been over a dozen attempts to assassinate Trump. You're absolutely right, William. One of them was using a drone to fire into his bedroom, which would have killed him, except a week before they'd replaced the glass with bulletproof, and it saved his life. He's got very experienced former New York City cops who are his protection team. Can he always succeed? Even the best do not always succeed, but he does seem to be hanging in there, and I continue to support him, notwithstanding that he's a flawed candidate in various respects. The two major, in my mind, Operation Warp Speed on the one hand, and then the assassination of Soleimani on the other. That was really outrageous because Soleimani had been lured to the airport in Iraq on the ground that he was going to help negotiate a peace deal, and then he was taken out using a missile, violating Iraqi airspace, but more importantly, as an act of perfidy. I mean, this is betrayal. This is just disgusting. And, of course, Warp Speed, we all know now, the vax is really deadly, though if you're lucky, you didn't get one of the bad lots. But there's no doubt that it's bringing about death on a massive scale. I estimate at this point in time over a billion have died from the vax worldwide. William, pick up on whatever you think I have missed here in response to your question.
So, yes, I mean, I understand about Trump. I give him a bit of a pass on Warp Speed. The times were so difficult. He didn't have all the information. He had to trust certain people that were feeding him, you know, certain information. Now, you can criticize him for waiting too long, although he started to question now the vaccines. But for the longest times, he defended his vaccine actions. But that was those were unique times. And he also was one of the only national politicians to oppose the lockdowns. As far as the CIA, yes, I agree with you about Soleimani, but I understand, I was listening to a podcast where he actually put the kibosh in a number of CIA covert actions. The most prominent was in Venezuela. He put a stop to that, and it failed. But so he did not ingratiate himself with the CIA because he did stop a lot of the actions, but he went forward with Soleimani. And again, maybe he was a little naive, didn't understand all the ramifications or all the – didn't get all the information he needed. But, you know, overall, I think he tried to do what he said he was going to do, you know,
well,
which was to,
our border. He made us energy independent. He would never have shut down the XL pipeline. Biden began destroying the United States the moment he entered office. Trump received overwhelming support from people, as I say. My best guess, 100 million plus to 37. Biden had no business being in office. It's not even the real Biden. I've proven this again and again and again. It's just disgusting. Brian, your further thoughts?
Well, when you bring up his New York City protection team, what goes through my mind is thank God he didn't use John F. Kennedy's protection team.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, so that's why Bobby refused Secret Service when Nigel Turner did The Men Who Killed Kennedy in episode 7. He invited me and members of my research group to participate, and he wanted me specifically to enumerate 15 indications of Secret Service complicity in setting him up for the hit and covering up the assassination. So this has been an area of specialization for me. RFK declined Secret Service, but he was whacked anyway with a very clever man, where Israel, in my opinion, took the lead. And where Bobby was even directed out through the pantry, where he was killed when he was supposed to exit to the grand hallway, the great ballroom where he was giving a speech. And I think the party who led him to the pantry, therefore, was in on it. Sirhan being a Palestinian, that gives you the big clue. That's a big red flag. This was an Israeli op. Just like having a popular front for the liberation of Palestine call in and claim responsibility for 9/11 and then immediately switch to archivage of Palestinians rejoicing over some religious or political event in the past as though it were contemporaneous to create the worldwide impression. They were celebrating the attack on New York City when in fact they were just as dumbfounded and slack-jawed as the rest of the world. The 19 Islamic terrorists who were supposed to commandeer the four planes and cause them to crash. It was all an invented scenario. It was all a fake. Half a dozen or more turned up alive and well the following day, made contact with the UK press. They were reporting it. But our government will never change. Once it stakes out a position, it sticks with it forever, regardless of the evidence. And during my Volkswagen conspiracy conference, I created a backup. My original presentation on Saturday, and this is available on Twitter and on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, was on JFK and Sandy Hook. What we know now that we did not know then, which many of you may find of great interest because I lay it all out. But then when my first speaker on Sunday could not make, I had just prepared an alternative on the 9/11 crash sites and what didn't happen. All four of those crash sites were fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. Two of the planes, 11 North Tower, 77 Pentagon, were not even in the air that day. The other two, Flight 93 Shanksville and 175 South Tower, were still in the air after they'd allegedly crashed. In fact, the aircraft used for those two flights were not even taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? Monstrous scam. A monstrous scam. And there is so much more to this conference that I'm seeking to share with everyone, making it free and public from the beginning. It was broadcast live, and now we have an archive. BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, Twitter, @JimFetzer. Check it out. William, you made so many wonderful contributions today. I want you to have the opportunity to make a few more further thoughts of yours.
Okay. Well, I've been listening to this assassination situation, and I just wanted to mention that Robert Kennedy Jr. Is spending a lot of money for private security. I actually think he would prefer Secret Service, the modern Secret Service protection. It would save his campaign a lot of money. But Biden has refused it, which is almost unbelievable. A lot of family, no one of them in his family has come to us and said, yes, our cousin, our brother, to get Secret Service protection. But people have been intruding on his campaign. And, he's faced some threats. But I don't know if they're trying to bankrupt him by not giving him the Secret Service. You're right about Trump. He has had, I think, exemplary Secret Service protection. But, Jim, there's always the Stinger missile that can be fired at his plane. And, yes, it would be very diabolical. But, I just don't know what will happen. They cannot afford to let Donald Trump win. They're just not going to let it happen. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is a threat to them because he can take away most of the vote, or a good chunk of the vote, under 40. They Democrats need that vote. They don't get the older people's vote. They get the young people's vote. They win there. And if that's taken away from them, there's just no recourse for them to get any votes from any large segment population. So I don't know. I think people have told me this is going to be a very negative year coming up. I hope it's not, but I just don't know.
Yeah, well, you're making a great point. Yeah. Bobby did not want Secret Service protection because of how he knew they'd betrayed Jack. RFK Jr., however, wants Secret Service protection, and Biden is refusing. This is the only candidate in history since the assassination of JFK to be denied Secret Service protection by the American government. It's clear they're trying to set him up. And you got others out there like Robert Kagan who are suggesting that Trump is such a monster and a dictator that he deserves to be assassinated. They are using this. How desperate can you get? It is disgusting.
Yeah, well, we're in agreement. Okay, Jim, this question, you're the interviewer, but do you think it's going to, I've heard really scary stuff for the coming year. Do you think it's going to be an okay year, that Trump could win potentially, or do you think it's really going to be a decisive year that could be very, very dark? What's your prediction? I'd just like to hear it from you.
Well, I just say, given that the recent past is our best indicator of the near future, I'm expecting things to get worse before they get better. There are occasional signs of light. For example, it turns out that Ed Meese submitted an amicus brief to the Supreme Court when Jack Smith tried to move to expedite Trump's trial, and they rejected it. And Meese pointed out that Jack Smith was not properly appointed, that he has a category known as a superior officer, because Merrick Garland, when he appointed him, made him independent of the attorney general himself, which required a nomination and approval by the Senate, which did not occur. So I do believe it will be a positive development, that all of his efforts are going to be for naught. But they do reflect the desperation of the bad guys, that they want to, use the law to smear Trump any way possible, just as a law was used to smear Alex Jones and myself for speaking out about Sandy Hook, where Alex is equivocated, sad to say. I repeatedly sought to assist him, but he did not welcome my support, even communicating with his lead attorney about all the proof I have that Sandy Hook had been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Now, the Biden admin, I think, is not going to be willing to relinquish. You were making rather telling points earlier about the migrants. I'm worried. Dick Durbin, obviously a traitor to the United States, William. I am shocked, as are you, at the very suggestion, and he made it in kind of a casual way, so we weren't supposed to notice the enormity of the threat that it poses to the integrity of the United States. Yours.
Well, Dick Durbin should, I didn't use the word treasonous, but I just said reckless and all that. But I understand where you're coming from. I don't think anybody, any loyal American, should vote for Dick Durbin for even suggesting that. That is so unconstitutional.
That's their plan. That is 100% their plan. It's like taking guns away from the American people. Biden's going to try to do that, and I encourage everyone, get large capacity magazines if you have the opportunity, because if you're actually ever in a firefight, you need to have enough rounds to save yourself, and that's why they're trying to limit how many you can have in a magazine. It's terribly, terribly important to every one of us be able to defend ourselves and stand up for ourselves, our families, our communities, ultimately our states. I'm terribly worried that this massive influx is an army in waiting. We know that the government had picked up $1 billion in military equipment by agencies that have nothing to do with the military, like the EPA. What in the world are they doing with those weapons? They have to be in caches around the country. They've given them cell phones. They can tell them where to find it. I am worried the situation is going to get very, very bad indeed, William, to answer your question.
Well, Jim, you're one of my heroes. You've diagnosed so many of the issues and analyzed the issues. I think we know much the playbook. We know what they're about. We know their goals, their mission and all. But the question is, how will things unfold? Okay. I don't know. Again, maybe they don't realize that the hand they have, you know, four aces when they have a couple deuces.
Well, the bigger problem is
what happened in that they way overestimated their power in the world. Way overestimated.
The bigger picture entails the economy. BRICS is growing stronger, the ruble more independent, the dollar weaker. When the dollar goes away, when the yuan becomes gold back, and that's imminent, something's going to collapse. They're going to try to go to digital currency. Sad to say, William, you were wonderful. Brian, thank you for being my caller. Everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
World Unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic texts from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique possibilities, her technology, UFOs, and shadow evil events.
Right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, 9 till 2 a.m. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We would not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of any? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that it sucks at them darn well.
You know not what course others may take.
But as for me, give liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal culture that has ruled
human rights and right power.
I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at...